ready for more. More NBA, more NHL. Sprinkle in some NFL draft, maybe. I feel like that's a overplayed, kind of boring topic at this point. But my neighbor this morning, while we were taking out the trash, said, "Hey, good morning to you, John. Good morning, Jim. What do you think about the Patriots draft?" I'd like to see us take Marvin Harrison Jr. That's where I'm at. The number three pick. Looks like we're not moving out of it. Maybe we're moving backwards. My assumption would be that we will trade backwards. We're just kind of waiting until the last minute because we know the Minnesota Vikings have to make a move. I saw a post yesterday by, who was it? The guy with the, that ran out of the end zone, Dan something or other. I forget his name. He's not worth the time on ESPN, but saying, oh, Minnesota has to make a move because Justin Jefferson isn't going to be happy with Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback. Like, dude, I said that 3 months ago. You know Minnesota has to trade up. They have to. They're not going to start the season with Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback. You don't do that when you have two of the best receivers in football. That's how you like have a mutiny on your hands. So they're going to do something to get a young quarterback. Maybe they sit where they're at and get Michael Penix. And that would just be like, whoa, way too much weight being given to drafting a quarterback in the first round. Because now you're talking about the fifth best potential prospect, or maybe fourth, I guess, because who knows? The verdict's out on McCarthy there from Michigan. But I say the Patriots will, if we stay at number three, we should take Marvin Harrison Jr. We talked about it months ago. Get the guarantee. Drake May, I don't know. A dude with the first name Drake, do you really want to entrust your franchise to a cat whose first name is Drake? No. The Drake. It just sounds hoity-toity. Doesn't sound like a leader to me. And maybe that's just a rash generalization based on the name Drake. Just doesn't sound very tough. You know what does sound tough? The Boston Bruins road tonight. I watched a lot of hockey last night, actually. Man, the New York Rangers are good. I'll tell you that right now. I said it during the season when we played them. The New York Rangers are good, and they will lay you out. The Washington Capitals, I think, are tough as nails. When we played them at the end of the regular season, I was like, dude, the Bruins are afraid of the Washington Capitals. Well, I'll tell you right now, they ought to be afraid of the New York Rangers. Those Rangers guys are huge and just go looking to nail people, too. Close game last night, 4-3. The Rangers win. They're up 2-0 in that series. Every other series, though, in the NHL is pretty close. In the Eastern Conference, the Bruins and Toronto were the only teams that are tied at 1. You got Florida, 2-0 lead over Tampa Bay. Last night, Florida wins in overtime. Very cool game. And then the New York Islanders and Carolina. Carolina's a 2-0 lead, but remember, the Islanders were up 3-0 in game 2. So I guess the reason I bring those stats to the table are we can't panic. Boston Bruins fans, this is a time for toughness, confidence, and just cheering your team on. Don't expect the negative. Don't be looking for a reason to make excuses after the fact. Oh, Jim Montgomery shouldn't have done the quarterback, the goaltender rotation. Just don't be looking for a reason. Let's just enjoy the game tonight. I knew this road would not be easy. The Bruins team is not going to make it easy on us. And talent-wise, they're not that much better than everybody. I mean, I'm saying their top-end talent is as good or in the ballpark as everybody else. As that goal in the last game from Pavel Zacha, that pass over to Pastrnak, it was, right? Or was it Geeky, that one? The days fly by so fast. But what a pass by Zacha that was. Insane. Don't tell me we don't have the top-end talent. And don't tell me we can't go on the road and beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. What I will tell you is that on Twitter, oh my gosh, the Toronto fan base, they're like, they are way weaker than we are. I've been saying for months, the Boston fan base is just like, part of the reason why we're losing, we're not tough, we're thinking of reasons to explain why we lost even before the games have been played. But the Toronto fan base, I mean, they're resigned to losing already. They were at least before game two. Now they got the beer muscles. They're all excited. They're feeling strong because they got to win and all kinds of confidence heading into game three. And I'm sure their stadium is going to be packed, ruckus, at least at the beginning. So let's go in there and just get an early goal. The thing to watch tonight, it's pretty obvious, Hampus Lindholm. He is the key guy to watch in this hockey game tonight because you know McAvoy's going to show up. He's going to be there. But you also know, man, they're going to look to nail him. They're going to be physical with him. Watch the scrums afterwards. They're always trying to go after him. Why? Because they know he's our best player. And, like, we don't have a physical guy who'd be on the ice at that point who would peel somebody off McAvoy and, like, chuck him to the ground. Pat Maroon could do that, but he doesn't play with McAvoy a ton. I mean, Maroon's not getting a ton of ice time. So I think Toronto picks and chooses their spots there anyway as to who's on the ice and how they're going to go after the whistle goes and just get their gloves up in McAvoy's face and stuff. What do you want McAvoy to do? We want him to, like, fight? No. He's too smart. He's too good. He knows he's too valuable. So he can't take penalties after the whistle's already blown for these skirmishes. Skirmishes? We need somebody else in that decor to step up, and it's got to be Lindholm. Last game, he had a ton of turnovers in the first and second period. He just wasn't effective at clearing the puck out of the zone. So do we throw our hands up in panic and say, oh, man, you know, we're all done. The Bruins, if we don't win tonight, the season's over. Like, no. We've beaten Toronto 3 out of the last 4. It was 4-1, 4-1, 5-1, and they came back and beat us 3-2 last game, and they got a couple of goals that, not for nothing, kind of involved lucky bounces. Now, I will say on the other side, though, man, Ullmark made some incredible saves off of, like, skill shots by Toronto. Toronto dominated game 2. I'm okay with it. Well, let's move forward. I'm not really okay with losing Peak, who, I guess, from an injury standpoint, they're saying he's week to week. This is definitely a problem. We'll see who starts or who gets the nod tonight in his spot. Lindholm has got to be able to carry that second D unit. You can't keep Charlie McAvoy and Lindholm paired together anymore. That was our combo moving into the playoffs and through a game and change. I thought it was great, but we can't go with that pairing anymore. You have to split them two up. And, you know, who do you play Carlo with? Time will tell. We'll see. But McAvoy's probably getting paired with, like, Grizzlick, who's undersized. So that means more of a physical toll on McAvoy, more beatings, more checks. Come third period, it's tough to clear the zone, to maintain the puck, to be willing to absorb the hits, to get it out of there. It's easier just to, like, throw it deeper and maybe it goes for icing. No good for us. We got to possess the puck in our end and get it cleared out of our zone. That's the thing to watch tonight, everybody. But maybe you won't be watching the Bruins. Maybe you'll be watching the Boston Celtics. And I don't blame you. Celtics are fun. We're playing the Miami Heat. It's been a couple days off. And we know going into the game here, the Heat are going to play physical. Why? Because we saw it at the end of game 1. They took out Tatum. How are they going to come out in game 2? I don't think it matters. Honestly, I told you the other day, hey, if they come out and cheap shot somebody, what I would do, I'd put in a whole new 5 lineup and go and cheap shot them right back. But I don't think they're going to cheap shot. They're just going to get up under us. They're going to be all over us. They're going to try to be physical and try to get somebody to be, you know, a player that they're not. Like, get Tatum frustrated, trying to, like, retaliate or be physical, do a stupid foul, and get him off his game because they can't beat us otherwise. And the Celtics know this. The Celtics, I'm sure, had a rallying cry over the last couple of weeks in their gym, at their practices in their gym, talking about, hey, look at what Miami did to Tatum. Let's rewatch this play. They're coming with the sense of urgency tonight. We need to match that. And we will. Like, Mazzulla, this is what he's good at. He's good at, like, getting the guys pumped up from a motivational standpoint. He can relate to them. They like him because he's strong as heck. And he's an athlete and just talks like a tough guy. So the Celtics, they're going to be ready for tonight. They're going to blow the Heat out, would be my suspicion. But what do I know? My prediction skills, Miami, I'm still beat up from that Chicago Bulls loss on Friday. Let's see what happens here as the Sports Machine with Slim rolls on a Wednesday hump day edition. I think my brother Dave will be calling when we come back here. WKXL. The Sports Machine with Slim. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We'll be right back. We have a big surprise for you people today. You sports talk radio listeners, hopefully we'll hear a familiar voice as the show goes on. I would say somewhat of a star in the New England region. Certainly when it comes to sports talk radio. Long time caller, and I'm a fan of his, actually, so that's why I've asked a certain somebody to come on the air. We'll see if they have time later on today. For right now, we'll have to settle for my brother Dave, who I think is on the airways right now.
Sorry to disappoint, Slim.
No disappointment whatsoever. You just don't have the street cred yet, my brother Dave, MBD, but I'm trying to bring that to the masses and give you your form because you're pretty good at what you do here. What do we want to do today as far as the Celtics and the Bruins? If the games are on tonight at the same time, which they are, which is your number one go-to?
Early on, it's probably going to be the Bruins just because of the situation of the series. 1-1 game might have more meaning, importance. But I'll definitely be going back and forth. I may even have two TVs set up to watch things at the same time. Because if there is some kind of conflict, which I suspect you will probably see something happen early on in that Celtics Heat game, I want to at least be able to rewind it and watch it again.
What are you expecting?
I just expect that the Heat aren't going to back down, but I think the Celtics are going to be more physical. I think that last game, the Celtics came out in the first few possessions, and it was clear Tatum went right to the rim, tried to throw down, he missed the dunk, he got his rebound, he kicked it back out, Brown hit the three. Then Brown made a nice move and got to the rim and threw down, but after that it felt like the Celtics really had kind of control of the game. They settled an awful lot, they took a lot of threes, it's great when they go in. But I just think that this is a different game this go-around. Like, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that it's going to be a lot more contentious at the start, and I would expect that the Celtics are not going to back down, and that will just get somebody, a couple different individuals to, in my world, just to have some kind of a spat out on the floor.
Well, there'd be a reason to watch the Boston Celtics over the Bruins tonight. I will have my TV dialed in number one position to the Boston Bruins. I will say, though, with the NBA, Dave, last night we did have a couple of road teams win, finally. The home teams had been dominating all the way through, but, whether it's the refs helping out or whatnot, we did at least finally get a couple of road victories last night. Did you watch either the Pacers, Bucks, or the Clippers and Dallas Mavericks play?
I watched all of the games yesterday. I would assume that at this point, I do think that the Pacers are going to go home and win both. I think that series is going to be wrapped up in 5-6 max for the Pacers after watching that game. They just look like the more hungry team. The Bucks, if you watch them play, just felt like they're almost quitting on the season. And I didn't get a lot of a good energy vibe from that team being up 1-0 and at home.
They don't have the players, Dave, on top of it. Look at their offensive lineup that was out there. I'm like, Patrick Beverley and Jay Crowder are on the court at the same time, like with Brooke Lopez. They just don't have the offensive weaponry. And then you look on the other side with the Indiana Pacers, and you can go, well, Halliburton's not playing this great, or Nesmith's hot and cold. But, dude, Pascal Siakam, all of a sudden, since moving from Toronto over to Indiana, this guy's playing like a stud. He's had over 30 points in the first two games. He had 37 points last night, Dave.
Couple big ones when Milwaukee in the second quarter had hit a three. They had been down a lot in the first half, and Dame came down, hit a three, put them up, and on the very next possession, Pascal Siakam came right down, put Dame on the block, and got an and one, and that really settled things down from there. There's no doubt he's playing good, but their team just in general, when you said Turner, they have a lot of guys that are energetic. They want to run. They're involved in the game. They're emotionally invested. When you watch the Bucks, I'm with you. Like, their talent level might be somewhat suspect, but Middleton's never been an emotional guy. Brooke Lopez never been an emotional guy. The only guy on that team that really has brought any emotion this year is Dame Lillard. In the past, it was Drew Holiday. And now he's on the Celtics, which we'll take.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. Just watching those two teams play, I would say the Pacers get this series done real quick in five or six at the most. Just watch them. I just don't know how Milwaukee's going to recover. They got dominated last night. And then in the other game, that I have a similar opinion now with the Clippers and Dallas. Just Ty Lue has no idea what he's doing. I've always thought Ty Lue's a decent coach, but as I watched the fourth quarter play out last night, there were two things that happened. Russell Westbrook, if you watched the game, Dave, he was so good. Not shooting the ball, because I think he was like 1-for-7 at one point. Like, he can't shoot still. You should just leave him open. But for rebounds, assists, drawing people and then kicking the ball out, steals, blocks, he did it all. Energy guy. They were up, Dave, 7. I got the numbers here. 73-69 with 8 minutes left in the game. The Clippers were up 73-69 because they had gone on a run. He got taken out. 1 minute later, 1 minute and 20 seconds later, they were down 76-73. They had given up 7 points and scored zero when Westbrook went out of the game. And I was just like, dude, if you're watching Ty Lue, you never should have taken him out. He was feeling maximum goodness. And then the rest of the game, Dave, they left three-point shooters open 3 or 4 times to just go and double team, kick right back to the open three guy, money, even, like, easy three-point shots. And it's Ty Lue's fault.
Yeah, I think a lot of that ties into the emotional part of the game right now. When it's super physical, and there's no doubt anybody who's watched the NBA all regular season and then in the playoffs, it's a different brand of game right now. These guys are super physical. There's a lot of reaching, grabbing, clutching, tripping. I mean, they're pretty much doing anything that they can right now, and they're making the officials have to blow the whistle. Well, in a game like that, emotion is significantly more important because you need people that are going to get fired up. You want players on your team that are going to respond to that physicality. And so I just felt like last night watching, like you mentioned it with Ty Lue, like Kawhi Leonard's never really been an emotional guy. Like, I think the teams with the emotion are the ones that are really responding to the physical play, and that's what's playing out in front of us. As these series maybe go a little bit further, maybe we'll notice it a little bit more.
It's a good point. The talent disparity between the Celtics and the Heat is extreme, but the Heat do bring the emotion. Like, they just play together with fire every time they step on the court in the playoffs over the last few years.
Of course they do. Yeah, that's why they've been such a tough out, right? They made the finals 2 of the last 3 years, lost in game 7 at home to the Celtics with Jimmy Butler with a chance to win the game maybe at the end in the other third year. Like, they're a tough out because they play with that emotion. So I just think that the NBA right now, you need guys that are going to respond to a challenge. Last night, you kind of watched it. I don't know we haven't talked about the Suns game with the Timberwolves, but Devin Booker went right at it with, I can't even remember his name from Minnesota, but you could just see, like, the Suns just backed down. Minnesota played with way more emotion, way more intensity, and then as the game went on, they just drew away in that game.
If I read the lineups to you, I wrote them down, Dave. You got Durant, Booker, Nurkic, Bradley Beal, and Eric Gordon. You hear those five names, you're like, oh, that's a good squad, right, on Phoenix. On the other side, you got Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and then two stiffs who actually are not bad. You know, McDaniels, and they got another guy starting over there, Morris, I think, or maybe he comes off the bench. But when you hear those lineups, you go, well, Phoenix is better than them. No, Minnesota's playing with so much energy and fire, and they all are just wrapped around Anthony Edwards. Mike Conley last night was like, oh, Ant's starting to get it. He's starting to get it. Anthony Edwards is a bad man out there.
Anthony Edwards at 22 is potentially the best prospect the league has seen at that age since LeBron. I mean, and I don't want to put a ceiling on him. I think he's got a little bit different game than LeBron did. I mean, everybody's made the comparison to Jordan. But at 22, it's undeniable. I mean, his want to win, his compete level, his aggressiveness, toughness, hustle. I mean, he is a leader on that court for a guy that's 22 years old, especially when you have Karl Anthony Towns. Another guy that people think is proven, that's supposed to be a star in the league, has already taken that second spot. I mean, and I don't know, I'm sure you didn't see the game. Kyle Anthony Towns picked up his third foul in the first quarter last night, didn't play the second quarter, and that didn't affect Minnesota 1 ounce.
He's soft. I know he can shoot his threes, and he wins some awards and gets accolades from people. He's soft. I would look to move him immediately. Anthony Edwards is the guy for that team, and they want to play defense. That's the thing in this right now, where the refs are letting you play physical, too. A sound defensive team, that helps. Miami's going to play some D tonight, Dave. I like to just keep bringing it back to the Celtics and Miami Heat. Who do you think for the Celts has a big night tonight?
So, listen, I think your bench players need to respond. I think Peyton Pritchard, you know, when he gets his minutes, needs to play big for them. You know what you're going to get from your stars. Kristaps not a very physical guy. Tatum and Brown are going to do what they do. I think it's the bench guys tonight. No Sam, like Sam Hauser came in, was great the first half of that last game. I think you need more hard-nosed play tonight. I think Horford needs to have a much better night. I didn't think he was very good in that last game. But I'd like to see Horford and Pritchard really step up their game when they get on the floor tonight.
Nice work, Dave. I like it. I like it. You got a prediction? How many points the Celts win by?
27.
I'm with you. I think they're favored by 15. I predict that this game's not going to be close. Let's get a testy moment. I think we're due for it. Let's see how the Boston crowd reacts, too, in the Garden. Let's see if they can keep the fire, because they get tuned up, you know, when there's an altercation. Let's see if they can keep that all game long and then all playoffs long. That's the deal, and that's where you're going to be able to tune to us right here, the Sports Machine, with Slim, all playoffs long on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is where to go online. We'll be right back. Just heard something that stopped me in my tracks. Did that weatherman just say it's going to be 23 degrees tonight? What? What? The days have been much nicer, sunny. We're starting to trend towards springtime here. 23 and 30 mile an hour winds tonight? At least there's no snow in the forecast, right? I don't think he said that. I don't think I heard any snow. Thank goodness. Imagine if we got like a 6-inch snowfall tonight out of nowhere. Just, oh no, everybody's mood would just be dropped a little bit. We want our mood sky high heading into tonight. I mean, because this, listen, this is where it's all at, baby. We've been talking about this type of day for 6 months here on the Sports Machine with Slim. The Bruins and the Celtics are in somewhat, like, totally pivotal games tonight. If the Bruins lose tonight, it's, oh no, like, we're down 2-1. We're down 2-1, and game 4 is in their stadium. And that means we've lost 2 in a row after beating them 3 times in a row. All the momentum's on Toronto's side. And how did we lose? Because we lost the physical matchup. So we'd be feeling terrible tomorrow. Or, God forbid, imagine if the Boston Celtics ever lost to the Miami Heat tonight. How would that happen? The physicality angle, we just talked with MBD about it. You know Miami's coming out to get physical with us. There's no other way they have a chance. So, we got to win both games tonight, or else I'm going to be somewhat miserable tomorrow. If we ever lost both, I might just cancel the show. You might have to tune elsewhere tomorrow for your sports talk information, because that would just be like a sign that the end of times is near. If the Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins both lose tonight. If they both win tonight, it's party time. It's party time. I'm handing out gifts and presents tomorrow for everybody. I'll buy donuts and bring them into the radio station. We're going to be celebrating. Let's go. Because the Celtics win tonight, and, I mean, the talent disparity will just be more clear during the game. It's like, and I expect this fully. The Miami Heat can't beat us. Their best player right now is Jaime Jaquez. I said it yesterday. And I like him, but come on, dude. Athletic-wise, experience-wise, and everything. I mean, toughness-wise, I'm not going to say he's not tougher than our guys. I mean, I'm sure he's not tougher than Xavier Tillman. But some of the other dudes, I mean, I don't think Tatum wants to bang with Jaime Jaquez. I don't necessarily even know if Jaylen Brown does, quite honestly. Jaquez just like, he's not going to stop. He played like all game in game one. That guy's a 23-year-old rookie. What's he doing out there? He doesn't look athletically like he should be out there for the whole game. I didn't even check the box score to see exactly how many minutes, but every time I turned and looked, he was playing. And by the end of the game, he was initiating their offense. That's a bad sign for Miami. As much as I like and respect the guy, I was like, what a great draft pick Jaime Jaquez was. But not enough to help. Say the words draft pick, you immediately got to go towards the New England Patriots. Who's going to help this team next year the most? Marvin Harrison. Or, if we draft him, Drake May. With no weapons. Who would Drake May throw to? Like, I don't think he's ready to be an NFL quarterback anyway. I don't think he's going to be good. But let's just say he is somewhat ready, and he is somewhat good. Who's he going to throw to? You don't have a number one receiver. You don't have anybody that can get separation. Why not draft the guaranteed pick? Marvin Harrison Jr. is a guarantee. Now, whoever's your quarterback has somebody to throw to. And I just logged on my Twitter and I saw Dakota in Braintree, who's a longtime sports talk radio caller. He made a post an hour ago. And, I mean, I think I could read it to you exactly, but he in there is speculating, what if Mac Jones is your starting quarterback? Don't be surprised if the week one starting QB on the Patriots is Bailey Zappe. I'm sorry, Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones. I interchanged the two because I knew I was going to have to grab my phone and look at the post. And honestly, they're the same. It doesn't even matter. Like, it could be Bailey Jones or Mac Zappe. if either one of these guys, and I know Mac Jones is on Jacksonville, maybe he'll get cut tomorrow, we re-sign him. There's just no way the Patriots are going to be any good. This is the point of the story. You can't have these guys as your quarterbacks going in to the season. And thank God the Pats knew it with Mac Jones. It was time to get him out of there. But Bailey Zappe, like, he might be a worker. We've all seen enough. This guy is not leading the Patriots anywhere. But who else is? Did we sign Jacoby Brissett to be a backup? I think he did. I think we did. Grab anybody. Whatever. I mean, have auditions tomorrow. Start anybody behind there. Just get me Marvin Harrison Jr. to throw the ball to. Because any of those guys can at least throw him the ball and let him get out of the gates with like an 80-catch season and start building some confidence. We'll probably still be terrible and get a good draft pick next year. That's the point. We'll go after a QB next year once we have a better team. You get Drake May. What do you think we're going to do? You think we're going to make the playoffs? No. And we still won't have a receiver to throw to. Maybe next year we spend $80 bazillion and bring somebody in. I guess you could be. Let's just trust in the Patriots. Like, I'm putting my trust and faith in the Celtics. I'm putting my trust and faith in the Bruins. Tonight is, it's Bruins time, baby. It really is. I'm looking at these other series, and I'm watching these other teams. I'm like, oh, man, they're good. The Rangers are good. Florida is good. Even Tampa Bay, who's playing tight games with Florida, they're 0-2 in the series, but Tampa Bay is good. Carolina up 2-0. All these teams in the East, they're good. Guess what? Toronto's pretty good, too. Austin Matthews, he's sickness. Come on. I mean, I think David Pastrnak is a fantastic player, although we haven't heard too much from him. I mean, he did have a goal last game, right? And I think he might have even in game one, but it's not like he's making the highlight plays where he's like juking one guy, going by him, and then into the middle, and boom, awesome shot to beat the goaltender. It's more one-timers. Nice lap shot, great option to have. But during the regular season, Pastrnak was coming up with these beautiful artistic type of plays fairly often, and at least attempts, even if he didn't score. I'm not seeing a lot of that out of him. And unfortunately, Mitty, the bearer of bad news yesterday when he was on the show, said, you know, in game two, we kind of looked like the Boston Bruins from last year in the last handful of games against Ford. I was like, oh, no, dude. But he actually was kind of right. We got to come with an effort tonight. The Bruins have to respond. You know physicality is going to be part of it. Toronto's throwing hits all over the place. I mean, and Thomas Polk told you over the last couple of days here, Toronto's a good team. They're not just going away. You're going to have to go into Toronto and beat them. What I will say, their fan base is looking to be beaten. On Twitter, they are all so negative because they've been run out of the playoffs thinking they had great teams the last 3 years where they lost in the first round, second round. So their fan base is just dejected and looking for a reason to fire their coach. What's it, Sheldon Keefe, I think, is the guy's name. Like, they're looking for a reason to get rid of him. Well, let's give them the reason. Start it tonight, Bruins. Win game three, and then all of a sudden, how fantastic and confident are we going to be feeling headed into a game four? There'll be the questions of, well, do you start Linus Ullmark in game four? Yes. Yes. Let's just jump ahead. Win or lose tonight, game four, Ullmark gets the start in game four. And wouldn't it be something if we lost game three and then won game four with Linus Ullmark? And people all of a sudden they're talking about the goalie rotation. And wow, who's going to start game five? And it just overtakes all of the NHL media. That's what they'll all be talking about because so much controversy. And all on Jim Montgomery's shoulders. I'm with it. That's where I want the pressure to be on this team. The decor has to get us there. This is where tonight the defenseman, everything is on them. Hampus Lindholm, I mentioned it earlier. Look at our D line tonight, and I got to look, and I'll do it during the break to see if we have word as to who the sixth this defenseman tonight. There's no way they're pulling Grizz out. He's definitely going to be top six. But McAvoy, he's getting roughed up. I can tell he's already in a spot where he could be getting run down. Don't let it happen to him. Carlo's been studdish. He's been great. Lindholm, terrible in game two. You got Shattenkirk, Lowry, Grizzlick. I don't have a ton of confidence in this guy. Lowry can't play. Lowry, like, if he comes in, he better score a goal because he's going to give one up. So the Bruins D, you need Hampus Lindholm to come through. Segment four, the Sports Machine with Slim rolls on. I got more insider information for you on both the Celtics and Bruins. When we return from this commercial break, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Tell you how I'm feeling. It's in jest. Although a little bit feeling this way. I feel like I am back in my 20s and looking for someone to date and trying to maybe at a bar, buy a woman a drink, or just meet somebody, and then you get the phone number, right? And then it's like, well, when should I text? What should I do? And you wait maybe a day, or maybe you just go ahead that night and you say, hey, nice to meet you, or whatever. And then you kind of hoping they get back to you. You're chasing them a little bit, though. And maybe they don't respond to your first text for a day or two. And you're like, oh, no, like she doesn't like me. But then she sends a text like, oh, hey, I was just busy. And you all of a sudden, oh, yes, all right, maybe she does like me. Cool. Let's try and do this. And you send another text, and then you wait. And all right, well, hey, let's get together again sometime. Cool. But you never firm anything up. And then 3-4 days later, hey, I want to try and do this. And then they don't get back to you again. So then you're just leaving it open. Like, okay, maybe you hear from somebody. Well, just so everybody knows, Dakota in Braintree is a caller I've referenced a couple of times, and I've been kind of stalking him on Twitter and text just to be like, hey, come on the show, because I do think it's going to be fun. And I feel like his back and forth banter with me will be very good just because he has some outrageous takes that he stands by, and I love that. Like, he's way back when was saying with Jason Tatum, and still to this day, he'll go against the crowd. Say, like, he doesn't think necessarily that Tatum has that it factor to be the guy to get the job done at the end of a series. Like Jamal Murray just did, or even during the series at the end of a game. In game two, Jamal Murray was like, hey, I'm taking the ball. Yeah, I know Jokic is on my team. I know Jokic is the best player in all of basketball. I'm not even looking at him. This is my ball. I'm going to go create my shot, and I'm going to nail it and win the game. And that's exactly what he did. The only way you're going to do it is if you're like, this is what I think is going to happen. I believe this is what's going to happen. Give me the ball. I'm going to go and do this. Jason Tatum has shown no ability to do that. He hasn't. He looks for the easy way out. He's looking to draw a foul. He's kicking out his leg while he's in the middle of a jump shot that he should just be focused solely on, like, draining the 15-foot jumper to win the game. He's more trying to kick his legs out to draw a foul. This is the mentality that's been displayed up until this point. Can that change? Absolutely. And it can change on a dime because he's still young enough. And for us to win it all this year, it's probably going to need to change this year. Jason Tatum, like, I'm begging you, dude. We're going to need you to come through. Because I don't know who else is going to do it. Are you trusting Kristaps Porzingis? Give me the ball. I'm going to make it happen. I'm like, dude, no, you're 7'4". We don't want you dribbling. I don't want you doing pull-up threes. I'm cool with you catching deep and firing from three, but do we want a Kristaps Porzingis, like 40-footer, to win a game? Is that the shot we're looking for? Jason Tatum's got to have the ball. Go create. Make it happen. Unless it's Jrue Holiday, I've said that plenty of times in the past, he might be our toughest guy. But if we're relying on Jrue to win games for us against the Knicks, against the Denver Nuggets in the finals, if they get there, yikes. I don't know if that's going to be like a long-term, multi-game type of strategy. We need a closer. We need a guy who's going to make it happen at the end, Tatum. So Dakota has had the opinion similar to mine. Like, hey, we're just kind of stating fact, but he does it a little bit more boisterously, I think, or flamboyantly, whatever the right word might be. So I want him on the show, and he's going to come on one of these days. He was supposed to today. That's all right. He's got something that came up, as I used to hear from prospective, you know, female acquaintances back in my 20s, plenty of times, something came up. It's understandable. They have their own lives to live, and I understand it. This doesn't send me into a place of deep dejection. My place of deep dejection will be if the Celtics and the Bruins lose tonight. There's no way. There's no way that's going to happen. Are they both going to win? Because that's the only way I'm going to be happy tomorrow. I'm going to be like a little below medium tomorrow. I'm going to be definitely upset / angry, uncomfortable. Unhappy is the best word tomorrow if one of these two teams loses. If the Celtics lose, though, it'll be somewhat funny. Like, well, how did this happen? We're unbeatable. We're so much better than them. We're going to come back, aren't we? But that's how I felt like the last 3-4 years, man. Against the Heat in Game 7 last year, I definitely thought the Celtics were going to win that game. Against the Golden State Warriors in the finals when we were up 2-1 and we're hosting game 4 and I was in the crowd. Oh man, I remember. We're definitely going to win that game. The bubble series against Miami, everybody, you know, it was open. A lot of people thought Miami was going to win. I was all over the Celtics. I thought for certain we were going to win that series. Wrong, wrong, wrong. So what's different with this series? We're just so much better. And now we have Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn. So I'm looking at my two kids here in the radio studio. They had school off today, so they're with me today. They've both been quiet enough. Did you, as a listening audience, even have an idea that the kids were in here? They both want to watch the Boston Celtics tonight. I know this. We're going to let them stay up a little bit late. If you have kids out there listening, let them stay up a little bit late tonight. Tonight's a special night. Let's get the Celtics to a 2-0 lead. Going into Miami looking to sweep that team and just put their lazy fan base out of their misery. They show up 30 minutes late to games, and they'll leave an hour early. Just put them out of their misery. They're going to be looking for it. But Toronto, we're up in a dogfight right now. And the physicality aspect that was there in Game 1, especially by Pat Maroon, was kind of missing in Game 2. I mean, let's not say it was kind of missing. Let's call it out. The Bruins got beat up in Game 2. They just did. They gave up way more opportunities. Linus Ullmark bailed us out so many times, but just from the hits. Now, I do remember Trent Frederick absolutely like checked one guy, and I think he went up into the air. It was him or Geeky. Literally sent a guy into the air off his skates, like 2 feet. So we did have some hits. But I feel like the physical action was dominated by Toronto. That's a little bit of a problem because the physical action had been dominated by the Boston Bruins over the last 40 games of the regular season. I saw it every single game, especially against the best of teams. We were physical. Our poke check was fantastic all the time against those best teams. Body checks were solid. We didn't necessarily go in looking to lay dudes out. We just went in looking to put contact on them so they know we're coming. Tonight, let's watch how we came out early. Remember in Game 1, how Toronto came out just flying around, looking to just, I mean, put people in wheelchairs. It was that aggressive. Are the Bruins going to be having that type of attitude tonight? Do we see any sort of, like, is it panic? Is it trying to do something different? Or do we just go in, let's do what we do? Jeremy Swayman is 4-0 against Toronto in the last 4 games he started against them. So do we need to worry? No. Yes, because Austin Matthews came out of the barn last game to get that game winner the way that he did. There was no goalie in the history of God's green earth that would ever have stopped that shot. The fake, the smoothness, shift to the side, boom. Upside. And now he's probably feeling good. They're still the underdog in the series. Think the Bruins are minus 120 favorite. So obviously, people think the Bruins are the better team. I mean, it's that simple. The first 2 games, it's 50-50. Yes, we blew them out in Game 1, but Swayman played fantastic. He said, remember early in that game, he could have given up a couple of early goals, or at least one. And if we gave up the first goal, the whole tone of the game is totally different. I mean, you can see this within hockey. One goal makes a world of difference. Sometimes. With the Bruins, we scored the first goal the other day. We give up a second one. We give up the next one 14 seconds later. Then, end of the first period, we score with 7 seconds left in the first period. You're thinking, oh, yeah. This game is ours. What's up, dude? And no. Toronto just carries the play for the rest of the night. We got to come out of the gates early tonight, people. Get ready, Boston Bruins fans. I'm already ready. I'm sure some of you listening out there are already ready, too. Let's get more ready as the day goes on, and let's get ready to talk about it tomorrow here, 10 a.m., The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 a.m. I say it every day. Radio dial, 1450 a.m., 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. That's where you can hear us. Live on the radio every weekday, 10 to 11. Let's do it out there. Have a good one.